Welcome to the CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliate. You're listening to Touch a Heart, hosted by Alicia G. Brown, president and founder of the Women's Worship Fest Incorporated, discussing topics that are difficult and tender to the heart, tackling the areas that plague our society and have caused suffering and hardship, but have found hope in God. For the next 50 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk to the host or call in 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at Christian Women Affiliate. Here's your host.
Good evening, everyone. Hello, I am Alicia Brown, your radio host of Touch a Heart Talk Show, an entity of Touch a Heart International, formerly known, yes, that's right, as Women's Worship Fest Incorporated, bringing to you real people, real testimony, real breakthrough. Today is a miraculous, marvelous, magnificent Monday. Today we remember those who gave their lives for this country. We honor you and your family for your sacrifice, to those who have given and to those who continue to give, as we recognize today Memorial Day. Today's scripture is found in Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. What a great word to guide us in the midst of conversation, you know, to be slow, to take offense, and to have a gentle answer when even maybe someone's not deserving. Also, let me invite you to join us every Monday morning at 6:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time as we pray for our schools, led by our conference call host, Lucretia McKinney of Paris, California. Every Monday morning, we are praying for our teachers, students, administrators at all the various schools. So please, please just join us by dialing 712-432-3100, and the code is 244035. Also, get a spiritual boost by going to our website and clicking on Refueled. You will receive words of motivation and encouragement. To help you strengthen your spiritual walk, please feel free to visit our website and see what we're doing here at Touch a Heart. You can visit us by going to touchaheart.org. Again, that's touchaheart.org. Also, there you, if you've missed any of our episodes, they are recorded and you can listen to them on our website at touchaheart.org. God has been so faithful, so great to us. We have a tremendous passion and a heart for those in ministry. We have added a chat room for those vulnerable to suicide, overwhelmed, or frustrated, and or burned out. This is a chat room specifically for those in ministry, but if you are not in ministry and you feel like you need to talk to someone, feel free. We are facilitated by trained confidential listening agents. This chat room has a capacity to translate up to as many as 30 languages. We will also be offering webinars that will be focusing on teaching individuals how to minister to the minister biblically. And these webinars will begin soon, very soon. So more information is to come. And if you want to know any more about the chat room, once again, go to our website at touchaheart.org. The chat room is located on our website. Please continue to keep Touch a Heart in your prayers, because there has been a great response to the crisis chat line and what we are doing. And if you're interested in volunteering on either of these, the chat rooms or the webinars, please email us at touchaheartintl@gmail.com. If you're in the Las Vegas area, I would like to personally invite you to Kingdom Center Church this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. I'm honored to be speaking at their women's service. The address there is 4085 North Rancho Avenue, 4085 North Rancho Avenue, where Bishop George White is the pastor. I would love to see you there. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the 6th and the 7th verse in the New King James Version says, "For this is the sort of women, those who creep into households and make captives of silly women, loaded down with sins, led away with various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Recently, while on Facebook, I was simply floored. There was an individual that was about to be released from prison, and he was asking women on his Facebook page to stop sending him private requests to be the first one to take care of him when he was released. He mentioned this on his Facebook page, and one response was posted on his Facebook page from a woman who sent a picture, and with it, the caption said, "Okay then, your bed or mine." I couldn't believe that a woman would be that direct. This really troubled me, and I know that all of us can recall times when we, as women, maybe were young or immature and perhaps made some foolish mistakes. But I am amazed with how women are so direct and even pushy. As I contemplated today's discussion, I looked for a definition of a lady. And quite frankly, some of the definitions astonished me. These definitions did not, this is one definition that did not surprise me. A lady is a woman who behaves in a polite way, a woman of high social position. But the first definition that I came across did surprise me. A lady is a woman used as a polite or old-fashioned form of reference. Old-fashioned, and according to styles or types, no longer current or common. So no longer current or common. So do ladies still exist? I remember several years back asking my father to tell me and to name for me individuals that came to his mind that he would consider ladies. And I remember I was surprised because it wasn't a very long list. So as I prepared for today's show, I wondered who I could invite to discuss this subject with me. And two ladies immediately came to mind. Now, I'm not going to go into long bios or long backgrounds. I just want to get right into today's discussion. So the first lady I'm going to bring to you is Linda Beckley, and she is the wife of Joshua Beckley of Ecclesia Church, Christian Church. Linda is a very kind and compassionate and polite. She has that kind of demeanor, and in my opinion, she is a lady in her own right. So she's the first lady I want to bring to you. So hello, Linda, and welcome to Touch a Heart Radio. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Lisa, and thank you so much for the invitation.
Oh, thank you for being so kind to accept it. I'm really happy and excited to talk about something that I think is really kind of concerning me today for our world. So I'm really happy that you were so gracious to accept today's invitation. The next lady I would like to bring on is Kathy Poliak, and she's a teacher at the International Children's Academy, ICA, and I have a nickname for Kathy, and it's simply sweetness. That's what I call her, because she astonishes me with her kindness and her love, and I've observed her behavior, and there's been times when someone maybe didn't deserve a ladylike response, but she's given mm-hmm. them one, even when they didn't deserve it. So I thought she would be great for today's show. So welcome to Touch Your Heart again, Kathy. Thank you for coming.
Oh, thanks for having me, Lisa. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, anytime. We were talking a little bit offline, and I just really believe we're going to enjoy ourselves. And Linda, I want to first start off by saying, did you hear the story I shared with earlier about women propositioning the man who had been released from prison?
Yes, I heard that story.
Have you noticed at all in your personal life, just observing day to day, maybe going to the grocery store, maybe going to the gas station, or maybe even, you know, in church life, have you noticed a decline, I would say, in the way some would say with ladylike behavior? Have you seen a decline with that from women today?
Well, I don't know if I would necessarily say a decline, because like your definition earlier, I don't know that we have actually bought into the definition of a lady, because I think some of us hold on to the fact that it is old-fashioned and no longer current, although the dictionary that I had looked up, it said a lady is refined, polite, a well-mannered woman, a woman of gentle and noble character, which mm-hmm. is what the Bible commands that we become. And so I think that for us, or for this generation, they haven't really bought into what it's like to be a lady, because we look at how our young ladies dress and the language that they use, because social media is so rampant with being okay with saying what you want to say because you're not saying it, let's say, to somebody first face-to-face, so they are typing it out, but the responses definitely does not portray ladylike characteristics. And so I think they just have not bought into the definition of what a real lady is, and it's something that we need to continually teach, as Titus commands us to older women to teach the younger women, then we really need to be on our job about making sure that we're teaching them that it's okay to be considered a lady.
Well, that's really good. That is really, really true. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, Linda, my mom, you know, would tell me little things. And not, oh, you know,
yes.
What? Not even my mom, my brother, would, if, you know, he was just like a couple years older than me. But if I was walking around and a lady would say, a young girl in school or high school even, would say something to him like, oh, you don't see me? Like that.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
He would like smile. And when we would walk past, he would say, baby, when you have to ask a man if he see you, you out of line, because obviously he wasn't paying attention to you. And that's just showing that you kind of try to pursue him when I didn't acknowledge you. So he tried to even show me at a very young age.
Like I said, I think the world today has made it okay for the woman to do the pursuing, for the woman to dress a certain way so that she can attract the attention that she wants. But I read something just today that says if you want a godly man, you have to be a godly woman. And sometimes I think that we use different methods to attract men when that's not how the Lord would have us to behave in our speech or in our dress in order to attract the man that he's going to prepare for us. I also saw a commercial just the other day, and it was with a dad and his little daughter, and he was kind of saying, you know, he called her his princess, and what kind of man are you looking for? And she would say, a king. And she probably couldn't be any more than two. And how is he supposed to treat you? Nice. You know, and so from very early on, this dad was teaching his daughter to not accept any behavior less than what she deserved as her daddy's princess. So I thought
that
was
so
really
nice.
Great.
That is really nice. You're really dead on, really dead on. And, you know, I noticed that even, this is just my observation, Linda, that some of the behavior I see that's not ladylike, it's not even, you know, it used to be in my day that the older women would talk about the younger women. Oh, look at her. She's so fast. That's the word they would say. She's so fast.
Yes.
But today I see mature women acting just as ignorant and foolish and what you would say fast as young women.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because I think, again, we've lost those values, and then those that have grown up, even in their maybe, let's say, early 30s, and they dress a certain way. So the teenagers coming up and see the women dress that way, and they think this is okay how you're supposed to dress. So I've been at church on occasion where I've had to tell some of the older ladies, you know, you need a pin right there. Or you need to pull that down a little bit. Yeah, that's a little bit too short, so... I think we have to make sure that we are living a ladylike lifestyle. So if they turn to the right hand, they turn to the left hand, all they will see are ladies. But when they see us dressing that way, like I said, social media is out there so prevalently that that's what they see, and they want to dress that way. So we have to be careful how we dress so we can be good examples for them.
Oh, that's so good. Now, Kathy, you know, you work with our precious little children every day, and you're able to see, you know, these little young ladies get ready to grow up. Have you noticed things as a teacher and as a mother, because you have delightful little young adults, teenage girls, growing up as well, that kind of breaks your heart as a mother for your children to be exposed, or even your little children at school to be exposed to different unladylike behaviors?
Well, I definitely see it among my teenage daughter's peers more than I see it at the second grade level. But certainly the world has changed quite a lot. And I think these young women, you know, it's a really great time to be a woman because we've been empowered to have a voice, even in our churches, which is a great thing. But then, the Lord has a plan for that. The Lord wants to use us as women to teach the younger women, to teach other women, to reach them and bring them into the kingdom of God. And those are great things. But that empowerment has almost been perverted in the world. And what I've seen is, young girls just exposed to so much, and men too, exposed to so much that just almost seems normal nowadays, whether it be how they dress or how they behave. There just seems to be, there are no boundaries with a lot of these young people. And I have tried to instill into my daughters, a level of modesty and appropriateness, not wanting to cause a young man to stumble. I use that one a lot with my girls. Not a whole lot. I've done it enough to where they know that that's the standard. It's sad to say that some of these young girls just don't know who they are in Christ. And that's, so when my girls see that, or when I see that, sometimes they might make the comment, and, we always go back to, they just don't know who they are. They don't know how precious and how valuable they are. They haven't had perhaps someone to model what it is to be ladylike. What does that even look like? Who are their role models? And so that's what I've seen a lot of, especially with the teenage girls. Just not, even when you walk into clothing stores, if you were going to shop for a pair of shorts, there are no shorts that go to your knees anymore. I mean, seriously.
Those old fashioned.
Yep. I'm serious. There are the even the styles and what they're marketing to the young people today. But I really feel like, I know with my daughters, I've really wanted to minister to them and shepherd their hearts in a way that about purity, and not just purity, sexual purity and that type of thing, of course, but just really when you know who you are and you have Jesus living inside of you, he's the righteousness in us. And then that is emulated. That it's you take on the countenance of a lady because that you're a princess. You're a daughter of the Most High God, a daughter of the King. And so how would a daughter of the King, behave? And it's not even about acting, act this way or act that way. It's who you are. And so I really believe when young girls and women, older women, know who they are in Christ, that ladyship is emulated because that is who they are. They know their royalty and they carry themselves that way. Does that make
Kathy,
sense?
Kathy, what kind, it absolutely makes great sense. What kind of ladylike behavior do you hope that your daughters see in you?
Well, I'm a worshiper. I see the connection there. I hope you can see that. If you I worship Jesus and I honor him first in my life, and then, honoring my husband, honoring my boss, honoring my pastors, and really having that as a core value, I believe, being a woman of honor. And I believe, Linda, you had mentioned in one of those definitions about a good and noble heart, or being a woman of nobility, those are core values that I hold dear to my heart. And so I try to model that for my girls. And I think that's what, as mothers and grandmothers, we need to remember someone's always watching us. And it's a lifestyle. I think that's the key, is if you love Jesus with all your heart and you honor him, then those things come a little more naturally. But this younger generation coming up, I feel like they have some role models in the world that are shouting so much louder than the churches.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe we do have a very good platform. I know we have a platform.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy, I've sat with you in church on occasion, and young people come running up to you. I tell you this all the time, like, you're a superstar. Oh, it's Miss Poliak. It's Miss Poliak. And so that means to me, they're watching you. They're looking at you. Mm-hmm. They're seeing you. And they see something that they really like. And to me, it's, you know, being a lady does not have to be a pretense, or you pretend to be a lady, or you're faking to be a lady. Mm-hmm. It ought to be a day-to-day, just who you are, your natural, your identity.
Absolutely. You know, I had a young girl, she's in first grade, she'll be in second grade next year. She came up to me yesterday during worship, and she just said, I want to worship next to you. And she just stood there. We had our hands raised together. And when I would lower my hands a little bit, she would lower her hands a little bit. And when I'd raise my hands up, she'd raise her hands up. When I was kind of dancing a little bit, you know, just having fun. And she really just wanted to, she was mimicking me in my worship. And I think, oh, my gosh, how often our girls are looking for someone to imitate. And, you know, that was a very, that I was very honored that this little girl was looking at me like that, you know. And so I think you, when you were talking about the older women being, I want to use the word aggressive, okay, because I think that's what you were describing earlier. It's women are seem to be a little more aggressive. And what, there's a nickname for that. Do you know the nickname for that? We call,
Which one?
Those cougars. Cougars.
Oh, yeah.
There are women. Is that okay with you, Andrew? We're having a very open conversation.
Yes,
so,
yeah, go right ahead.
No, I just think that there's, it's like a cheapening of being a woman. That's what that looks like. And so when we see these little girls, like this little girl wanting to be like me, I was like, wow, this is, inside I have this whole conversation going on in my head going, wow, this is so neat. She just wants to be next to me. Wow, that's so great, you know. And I'm thinking, just like she wanted to imitate me, there's women or young girls that want to imitate these other images. So it's that same kind of dynamic going on. And so, you know, I want to just say, women of God, rise up. You are leaders, and you have little girls following you, and what a mantle that is to carry. What an honor that is.
Yes. I totally agree. I totally agree. And like Linda, you are a pastor's wife. So, I mean, I've been there and I've seen that, and I even watch it with my pastor's wife, how people watch her and they look at her and they want to be her friend and they want to be around her. You have an amazing platform, Linda.
And that's why it's very important to make sure that we are using the platform that God gives us in whatever arena that that may be in, whether it's at church or the workplace, because people are always watching. And we say that, you know, you have influence over those that are close to you or in your circle. And I had the same experience Kathy was talking about, and the young girl now is probably about 13, 14, but I remember when she was little and her grandmother would bring her to church, and she would just, she said she wants to come sit by you. And so she'd come sit by me. She'd draw, and, you know, I'd tell her when it was time to pray to clasp her hands together so we could pray. But I see her spirit now. She's in the choir. You know, her grandmother is a woman of God, and she's really pursuing the things of God. You know, I read something the other day that being female is a matter of birth. Being a woman is a matter of age, but being a lady is a matter of choice. And so we have to choose to portray lady-like character. And I was glad when Kathy said lifestyle, because it's a lifestyle. It's who you are when nobody's looking, when nobody's around. How are you behaving? Yeah. How are you carrying yourself? And so it's very important that we live holy, that we live in a manner that's pleasing to God regardless of where we are, because you could be anywhere and somebody's watching, but also when you're at home. And no one is there. What kind of characteristics are deep down inside? Because that's really who you are. It's your character. And whoever you are at home in those quiet times, that's going to come out in your speech and your behavior, and people will see it. It will come out in your choice of friends. It will come out in your attire, what you wear. I like clothes. I'm a fashion gal. But I like to look classy. To still shop, and you know, and maybe I dress a little bit young for my age now, just having turned 60. But I still make sure that I'm looking like a lady, because I do represent Christ. I represent my husband. People know who I am when I go places in the Inland Empire. They know that's Pastor Beckley's wife, and I represent my church family. And so I want to represent all of them well, particularly, of course, Jesus Christ. I want to represent him well. So I try to carry myself at all times in a ladylike fashion.
That is so good. I was at downtown Summerlin. It's a little mall area for in Las Vegas, and Kathy was with me, as a matter of fact, and we were on our way to a restaurant, and I was telling Kathy, I said, Kathy, you look so nice. You just got your hair done, huh? She goes, yeah, I just did it. She goes, I really think it's important how I look. I have to maintain my hair. I have to constantly. You're so right. You just
me too.
Remember that conversation, Kathy?
Somebody's always watching.
I feel good too. I feel good when I get my hair done, you know. And I feel put together. And I take it's you know, I just I know that I'm a role model. But being a teacher, and also and being a leader in my church with the women. You know, I'm a role model, so I care about how I carry myself. And, you know, I know that God loves me whether my hair's messy or it's done, you know, and coiffed perfect, whatever. He loves me no matter what. But, you know, I like feeling like I'm, you know, like I take care of myself. I guess that would be a good way to put it. To take care
and
of
also,
myself.
We don't want the young ladies to get the wrong impression when the scripture talks about that we are to dress modestly and discreetly, you know, not the braiding of hair and that kind of thing. And we don't want them to think that I can't be fashionable. And again, going back to that definition of a lady being old-fashioned. And so we don't want the young people to think, well, I don't want to be a lady if I have to dress like that. So we do want to dress fashionable and keep our hair up and keep our nails up and just looking in such a way that they'll say, okay, it's okay to look like that. It's okay to look classy and elegant, and I don't have to look like the commercials are showing like you're showing, and it's hard to go out and buy young girls things these days because they're so provocative. But I think if they can see a classy lady, and they can say, you know what, I can dress like that, and it doesn't make me feel old-fashioned. But we need to dress feminine, classy, elegant, and just not too revealing and not too tight.
Right. I agree, Linda, 100%. And we can, and you know what, because the world can make fashion look so enticing. So it's almost like we want to be an example of excellence in our in how we carry ourselves and how we present ourselves. You know, when I think of a lady, a lot of times I think of those period films where women wear corsets and drink tea with their pinkies up, sitting up straight in a chair and really uptight, you know, really, really uptight.
Yes.
And I think it's important for us to, you can be a lady and have fun. You can be a lady,
they
and
need to see
and
that.
And it's not just like Lisa had mentioned, pretense. It has nothing to do with that, but rather purity of heart and walking in holiness, but that comes from having a life in Christ, you know.
Yeah.
And spending time with Him, then that's
Amen.
What we reflect, and that's who people see in us.
So, there's a scripture in Proverbs, the 7th chapter, that says, I looked among the naive men and noticed among the youth one who had no sense. He was crossing the street at her corner and walked down the path to her house. And in the early evening, at the onset of night and darkness, all of a sudden a woman approaches him dressed like a prostitute. And with a cunning mind, she is noisy and defiant. Her feet don't stay long in her own house. She has one foot in the street and one foot in the public square. She lies in wait at every corner. She grabs him and kisses him, and her face is brazen, and she speaks to him. I've made a sacrifice of well-being today. I fulfilled my solemn promises. So I've come out to meet you, seeking you, and I have found you. I have spread my bed with luxurious covers, with colored linens from Egypt. I have sprinkled my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deep of love until morning. Let's savor our lovemaking. My husband isn't home. He's gone far away. He took a pouch of money with him. He won't be come home till full noon. So she seduces him with her talk. She entices him with her flattery. He goes headed after her like an ox to the slaughter, like a deer leaping into the trap. And it's like this was Proverbs, Old Testament.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's kind of sharing the way it is today.
Yes, I was thinking in my mind, if there's nothing new under the sun, women are still doing those same things today.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more in the open, and honestly, it's more acceptable because there are things that you see on TV these days, and you wouldn't even call that person a harlot. That's what they do, and it's okay. You see all these reality shows and the music that we hear these days, and it's promoting that kind of behavior. And women are getting to the point where they don't see anything wrong with it. Like you said, if you want to attract a man, there's more women out there than men, and so they are doing whatever they can to attract them. But it just came to my mind, nothing new under the sun. We're still doing some of those same things to attract a man, and God is not pleased. So like Kathy kept saying, if we want to live a lifestyle of purity, then that can't be us, and that can't be what we are promoting and how we're trying to influence our young ladies that we have influence over.
Amen. That's so good.
Lisa,
were you going to say, Kathy?
When you were talking, when you were reading that, you know what just kept going through my mind is we need a healthy fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
We need to have a healthy fear of God, because that's the beginning of wisdom. And I think even some women, you know, in the church that come to church, and I notice that, like you said, Linda, you need a pin there. I see a lot of them walk around with pins. and that's not to bring shame, because that's not my job to bring shame on anyone. But if the women that were, you know, dressing this way just for a minute realized, the fear of the Lord, just got a reality check, a revelation of the fear of the Lord, they would be covering themselves up in a second. It's like, Lord, help us to have that understanding as women of God, just to fear you so that we can have wisdom, you know, go ahead.
You're right. I think it's also a matter of intimacy with him, Kathy. I mean, really, really, truly knowing him. I was sharing that with you guys in the studio. I was sharing that with you guys that me now, unwillingly, that I am single now, I have so many people that challenge me and ask me, you know, how can you do it? And it's, you know, impossible. And, you know, what's wrong with you? Almost, I get that. Almost, what's wrong with you? Why are you not trying to get married? First of all, I have a lot of healing that needs to happen in my life. Secondly, I don't dare want to do anything that's not going to glorify God, so I'm not looking for anything. But it's just amazing how even in the church, we kind of like have messed up our mindset when it comes to finding a man. We think it's our job, and the Bible specifically says he that finds a wife. It's not our job to go finding a man.
I like what Kathy was talking about, how there's no more fear of God. And even in the church, I think sometime going to church and even Christianity, we start taking it for granted and we just become complacent. It's just something that we do. So, yeah, we come to church on Sunday. And even those that serve in ministry, it's just something that we do. But I was reading Proverbs in preparation for this. 31:30 says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Come on, Linda.
We
really need to
fear and reverence the Lord. And we've lost that. That's why we can be in the church and still behave like we do and talk like we do and wear the clothing that we do, because there's not a good, healthy fear and reverence for God and who he is. And the fact that every day, like I said, we represent him. whether you're out at home, whether you're at church, or whether you're at work, you represent Jesus Christ. And he's called us to be holy, set apart. And we just want to cling to the world standard. And I know we're being bombarded, especially the young ladies are so bombarded with what the world has to offer that we buy into it. So we have our work cut out for us as Christian women to really understand that this is a spiritual warfare. And we can't get weary in well-doing. We still have to fight for these young women that they will see that they can live a life of holiness and still, quote-unquote, have fun, but not be drawn into the world's enticements.
I would love to interject something here, Lisa, if I may, because I want to piggyback on what Linda just shared. Because in Las Vegas, you know, I've seen women come out of the human trafficking industry, get saved, be completely transformed, and become these amazing godly women. I have seen it happen. And so, you know, not everyone in Las Vegas is like that, but there are people from all walks of life that come and just get really healed and touched, and God just changes their lives. And so one thing I, you know, I think the women in the church, you know, we need to have the fear of the Lord, and we need to definitely have reverence for God and an intimate relationship with him. And then there's a very delicate place for us to walk, and that is, you know, to know how to love those people that haven't had this revelation yet. You know, those women that are coming in to the church or that are coming into a relationship with Jesus. And sometimes, you know, I've prayed for women that, you know, have a lot of cleavage showing, that, you know, are dressed very inappropriately, and they're coming out of a lifestyle, and they haven't grown into that place yet. And I have to be really careful because, you know, now if that's a pastor's wife walking in looking like that, I might have a few words to say and be a good friend. That's what I do. I'd be a good friend. But you know, if that's some woman that's coming into the church or coming into a relationship with Jesus, you know, it is, I don't know what term you just used, but basically we have, you know, some work to do, and it is a challenge for us to be the loving, open arms of Jesus to those kinds of women and then be a role model for them and do that. And it's kind of a delicate thing to be able to, you know what I'm saying, Linda? It's like I don't know if you've ever...
Yeah, the neighborhood that our church is in is like that. We draw people in that maybe have come out of lifestyles or settings that, honestly, they don't have modest apparel. And you do have to form a relationship of love and acceptance with them first before you jump into trying to tell them how to dress. And some, that's all they have. So that's what they come to church in. That's fine. I'd rather have them in church in whatever they have on, and then they can learn and grow. My thing is those that are already there, those that have been there for a long time. I don't want the new ones coming in and see the ones that have been there. Well, she dressed like I dress, so they need to be able to see a difference. But I wholeheartedly agree with you that we can't jump on people that's not their lifestyle. They don't know that yet. And we had to grow and learn about what God expects of a lady, and they will have to do the same. And I think as they see and hear that we love them and sense that we desire the best for them, they'll be more open to hear us say, you know, maybe what they need to do as far as their dress or their language even can be
That's
just a
beautiful.
Little bit rough when they first come in and sting your ears a little bit. But again, we have to love them into the kingdom. That's what it's all about. Ecclesiastes says that our mission is picking up broken pieces in the lives of people. And so we don't want to have people come into church and then they say that all we did was condemn them or we focused on the wrong thing. So, yeah, we have to be very careful. That's very good balance that we need to have. And I think that's where having your personal relationship with God comes into tact, because the Holy Spirit will really give us the sense of when you should say something and when you should hold back. So I really rely on the Holy Spirit's leading when I'm dealing with people.
That's very well said, Linda. Amen.
That's so good. The Bible says that we're living epistles. We're, you know, like living testimony,
yeah,
living letters. There's a preacher by the name of Dr. Jeremiah Wright. And Kathy is a teacher, so I'm going to say this is not grammatically correct, but it is so correct. He says people can't be what they ain't seen. And it's so true. I mean, you see people that don't have moms at home or don't have anyone that can be a role model to them. And I think you look in Bible times and how Paul, you know, came alongside so many people, how Elisha came alongside, you know, paracleting them, coming alongside them. It is incumbent upon us right now to start trying to be the example for people to see it in us, you know, not necessarily that you always have to even say anything. Like you said,
correct,
you know, you sat there and then the little young girl wanted to sit next to you or you're worshiping and the little girl wants to worship. But sometimes we, Kathy, you're so right, we throw people out just by being negative and telling them that they don't belong because of how they look and how they dress when we haven't even built a relationship. And
correct,
if they just see something positive, I mean, they'll be impressed. I mean, I think if all of us looked back right now, we could think of somebody when we were growing up, when we were younger, that we admired, that we looked at and like, wow, I really would like to, you know, be like that when I grew up. And they had an opportunity to really come along and mentor us if they chose to do so.
Definitely. You know, you just caused me to think about when I was growing up, I dealt with a lot of shame in my childhood and my teenage years. And when I came to know Jesus as an adult, and I fell madly head over heels in love with him, and he transformed my life so radically and so quickly. And I remember feeling like, I feel like I'm like so-and-so, like some people from my childhood that I admired. There are some families that just seem like they had it together, that these families that I knew just seemed like they had a very tight family. They always seemed very kind and loving, and I didn't know what it was that made them like that, but as an adult, I look back, and I knew it was because they knew the Lord and as a family. And I remember when I came to know Jesus as an adult thinking, I feel like I could have dinner with them now and I wouldn't feel awkward.
Yeah.
I feel like I could spend time with them and I would feel like I wouldn't feel out of place. But when I was young, I felt out of place. I felt different and not in a good way. And so I think when people are coming into, you know, like those little girls or the maybe even the older girls that want to follow us, they want what we have, but they don't have it yet. And so just being that example, you know, and using that platform, like you said, Linda, you know, wherever you are in being excellent and elegant and classy, and but all that comes by having the Lord. I just feel like he just brings that alignment, you know.
I 100% agree. That's what God does when he transforms us from the inside out. And then that way people can really see Jesus just by having a relationship with a woman. I like how you said, I just fell head over heels in love with God. You know, it's one thing that I have kind of told my children over the years, I can try to be an example for you, but I can't make you love him. And each one of us has to love him for ourselves. And when that happens, the change starts to take place because we desire to please him above all else. And as we desire to do that and we look into his word, then his word really becomes alive and starts speaking to us. And little by little, we begin to transform and we change and we put off that old man and
Amen.
We put on the new man. And we desire to serve God in all righteousness and holiness and just obey his word, that we become a woman that's pleasing in his sight. And then I think God honors our obedience to him and even the fact that we're in love with him. And if he chooses, he'll bring along someone that can complement us in our walk with him, not anyone that would hinder our walk with him, but will complement our walk with him. So any man worth having won't ask the woman to compromise. He will come right alongside her, walking, and serving the Lord, and they'll start doing it together.
That's wow.
That is so true. That is so true. And I know that it seems I think it seems like we are the only ones out there in some aspects. It's like a foreign thing, or like it said, the definition says not common, not current. But, you know,
yeah.
God always has a remnant. And we have to remember as women of God that we are the remnant. We have to be the ones that are going out there and making a difference, no matter whether we see it or not, or whether anyone else is doing it. We have to step forward,
yes,
and be the one.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's so good, Lisa. It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just really wanted, you know, to have you guys here today because I really want our listeners to hear. And I'm thinking if everyone today says, you know what, I'm going to start trying to, you know, be a better example. Even if we just start in our churches, I mean,
yes,
if we just start at our jobs, it can be a great revival amongst women today. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Kathy was saying about she used to look at and think of women, as, you know, with the corset and all that. I used to look at women,
mm-hmm,
I guess it's like in the 40s with the pillbox hat and the mm-hmm, nice tight suits, but the suits mm-hmm were very tailored. I don't mean tight as in fitting, but I mean tight as in together tight.
Yeah,
See, these women, they look so ladylike with their gloves and their matching purse and their pillbox hat. I mean, there were things that you could see and would look and determine that a lady was a lady. And so I think dress is so important. Not saying that everybody has to wear a hat or gloves or suit, but it is like, you know, you were saying, Linda, modesty, you know,
yeah,
how we behave, how we look, how we carry ourselves. It's all a part of a ladylike behavior.
Well,
you know,
royalty.
Three things came
for
to
royalty
my mind when I was preparing for this. Again, it's in our character, which is who
mm-hmm
we are at home. It's in our speech, because who we really are, it's going to come out of our mouth. And then it's in how we dress. Who we are, what comes out of our mouth, is reflected in the clothes that we choose. And even, like we said, our hairstyles and just the way we carry ourselves by how we dress is all reflective of what makes a lady. And so I think as we realize that we have influence everywhere that we go, then we
mm-hmm
will take seriously our character, our speech, and our clothing, our adornment, as the Bible calls it. And we will take seriously that and realize that we are influencing people. So we want to influence them to godliness and not to what the world is saying is okay or is fashionable.
Amen. Amen. Mm. I think, Kathy, you said something about royalty.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was just thinking about a time when I was putting some makeup on or starting to put makeup on in the mirror, and I felt like the Lord spoke very clearly to my heart that, you know, why even bother putting anything on if you're not willing to take care of the inside? And it was
mm-hmm
at a time when I was in a big hurry. I was trying to get somewhere. I needed to get outdoor, and I hadn't had my time with the Lord. I hadn't done any devotions, and I just was in a hurry, and I stopped right there, and I had carpeting in my bathroom at that time. And I remember hitting the floor, and I got on my face, and I just repented. And I said, God, you know, I want to put you first. And, you know, he just met me in that place of intimacy and, you know, dealt with a couple things that were going on in my heart at the time. And I can't even tell you what they were, but I just knew I had some stuff going on. And, you know, when we really make him the most important thing and we allow him, we allow Holy Spirit just to completely take over, completely get into all those nooks and crannies and deal with offenses or deal with hurts or deal with places where we might have anger or anything that is not lined up with God, then he can deal with that. He can handle it and
amen
give it over to him. Let him fill us up with his love, his presence. And then that his presence is what makes us beautiful.
And
so when I went to go put my makeup on after that, and I had tears streaming down my face, but it was like, I looked in the mirror and I was like, you're beautiful. I look beautiful with the Holy Spirit in me. I'm beautiful. I mean, I don't have to, it's not about, yes, I wear makeup and I take care of my hair and all those things, but boy, let me tell you, I've seen some women that are 70, 80 years old that are absolutely the most beautiful women I know because of the life that they have in Jesus. And then mm-hmm. the rest is just icing on the cake. It's like the
absolutely.
Clothes and the hair. It's just the beauty. It's an extension of their beauty. And so I think that's probably what, just from this conversation today, this is what the Lord is reminding me of, is take care of that relationship on the inside with Him. And then that's where real beauty comes from. And,
yeah, absolutely.
And that makes us ladies.
That sounds very, very, very good. God is first. You know, the simple
yeah.
scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God
yes.
and His righteousness. And all these things, even our lady-like characteristics, will be added
yes.
unto us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
yes.
so good, Kathy. That's very good. Absolutely.
Good stuff. That's what we're talking about here today.
I think that's a good just segue into the fact that it's so important that we love God and put Him first, because whatever
yeah,
we're
yeah.
dealing with, the struggles of being single, the struggles of trying to be a lady mm. but fit in with current fashions and current trends, mm. if we put God first, He will speak to our hearts. And the Bible says He has plans for us, and those plans
mm-hmm.
are to do us good and prosper us and not to do us any harm. And I think if we
mm-hmm.
really understood that and,
mm.
you know, grasped a hold of the fact that God has a plan for me, little old me, then we as women would be more inclined to just behave as ladies
mm.
because we know that
mm.
it's pleasing in God's sight, and then watch His plan unfold in our lives.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. That is so good. I totally agree with that. I totally agree. I think some reasons why, you know, this is something that God just revealed to me too. Sometimes I used to always say this thing, follow me home. The same person you're going to see
mm-hmm.
on Sunday morning, you're going to see if you follow me home. And I think that mm-hmm. a lot of times we don't have the right type of behavior because we let anger and resentment. I've seen, and I know you can attest to this, Linda, so many people disrespect leaders or disrespect even just their fellow man because they let that
oh,
anger
yeah.
raise up in them, and they don't let the love of God totally dwell. Because, I mean, as you know this too, Kathy, there's times when you're not even wrong and somebody will be mean and spiteful to
yeah.
you.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you
mm-hmm.
choose to respond? Is it ladylike
mm-hmm.
or is it like, oh, no, you're going to get a piece of me? You know?
Mm-hmm.
What's in
yeah,
you?
You
what's in
firm,
you is what's going to come out of you.
You got to do it in love.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be firm, too, because you got to help them see that they have to be respectful to
mm-hmm.
leadership as well.
Mm-hmm.
Again, being a pastor's wife and being a leader in ministry, you get it a lot, and sometimes your feelings, for me, I think my feelings get more hurt than that I try to rise up out of anger, that I feel like the person doesn't understand my heart for their good. So even
yeah.
if I have to tell them something that they may not want to hear, I always
mm-hmm.
ask the Lord to help me first, couch it in love, but
yeah.
maybe be firm
that's
to let
good.
Them know that this is serious, because sometimes I don't think, especially young women, they don't take it as serious as it is, so we can't have bitterness and all those things rise up in us to prevent us from being a lady. We got to be a lady at all times.
That makes me think, remember how I used to be someone who I didn't like to confront people.
Mm-hmm.
If it was something I felt like God was telling me to do, I had a really hard time with that because, and so sometimes I'd get a little bitter and frustrated and because I didn't like conflict. And I didn't,
mm-hmm.
and I also felt like, oh, I don't want to dishonor them. I want to be honoring to them. And then the Lord began showing me that very honoring to confront someone in love. It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
But if you're seasoned with salt, you know, you're the salt and the light. And sometimes we have to, one of our women's pastors in our church calls it care fronting. You have to care
oh,
instead
I like
of confront.
That.
we care front. And so am I going to care enough to confront and do it in love and be the salt and the light? And like you said, Linda, ask the Holy Spirit to help you every step of the way, because that's how it can, so it can be received, you know?
Yeah.
And so sometimes we have to deal with all those little things. It's those little, keeping no stone unturned, so that those things don't fester and turn into hurts and bitterness and things like that. We've got to, you know, deal with things as they come. And I believe a lady is able to do that. I believe when you're a lady and you're filled with Jesus' love, that, you know, he calls us to do that sometimes, and out of love and out of honoring.
Yes, because we're mentors as well. And if we're going to do that, we would like for it all to be where we don't have to really have any conflict or confrontation. But sometimes it doesn't happen that way. And even for our growth, like you said, to teach us how to be carefronting, to teach us how to season our words for each person, because each person that we deal with, they're different. So you can't really say the same thing that you said to the other one.
Right.
I mean, the context is the same, but the delivery may be a little bit different just because of who that person is. But hopefully we've built a relationship with them that they understand. My motivation is love. I still may have to tell you something you may not like, but my entire motivation is because I love you and I desire to see you become a woman of God.
I agree. I have loved this conversation. I want to say to my listeners, I'm so sorry that we never opened the line, but it just seemed like it was going in such a flow. I just wanted you to be able to hear everything that was on our guest's heart this evening, and I just believe you guys have really shared some great jewels, some gems, some great wisdom, and I know that a lot of people have been blessed, because I've certainly been blessed. So thank you, Linda. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you. It was my honor, my pleasure.
And thank you, Kathy. I appreciate you as well.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
You guys are absolutely amazing. So we have like a couple of minutes or so. Are there any last-minute thoughts that came to your mind that you thought about when I asked you to do this? Is it something that maybe we didn't mention that you might want to mention, either one of you?
Well, just for me, I just want to always leave people with encouragement that no matter where they are right now, God is able to lift them up out of any circumstances. The Bible tells us that nothing is too hard for God. And I just want them to know, to study God's word, understand who he is, and develop a desire to become the woman that God wants them to be, regardless of what we, even though we're the quote-unquote older women, think or feel. But study God's word and understand what he wants for you as a woman.
Amen. Thank you. Very well said. Kathy?
You know, I think what I've what I'm walking away from this conversation today is just to want to even grow deeper in my relationship with the Lord. I don't think we ever arrive until we're in glory. And it's just really spurred me on to just want to grow in that intimacy with him, and to even recognize that's where the real, where it's all starts. It's where all the beauty starts. It's where the smile comes from. It's where authenticity and genuineness come from. And that's what I want to emulate. And that's what I want people to see in me. And so it's just kind of reinvigorated that. So I've been real happy to be here today, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
Oh,
amen.
It's been nice to meet you, Linda.
Nice to meet you too, Kathy.
Okay, Kathy and Linda, please stay with me. I want to say to my listeners, I hope this has encouraged you today. And I just always, as I always say before I leave, go out there, touch a heart and change a life. Just with your attitude, your ladylike behavior, you can change a life. And gentlemen, even if you're listening tonight, you can change a life by finding a lady of God and not looking for someone who does not reflect Christ. So thank you guys so much for listening. Join us again next week. And just like I said, go out there, touch a heart, change a life. God bless you. Good night.
because sometimes it gets challenging.
Well, he calls us home, huh?
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, you know, this show is going to be on our website. So, Linda, if you want to send your young people to listen to it, it might be a good thing for them. I know, Kathy, you've done that before, had your kids to listen to some different things. So I just think that it's something that needs to be talked about. And as we were even talking, I was thinking, you know, this is not even something that we really even talk about in the church too much, being a lady.
You're right.
I mean, we talk about when we see somebody not behaving, you know, they're not behaving. You know, they don't look right, but we don't do, I guess, you know, strategy on how to be more positive, you know. So I think it would be good. So thank you guys so much. You guys are amazing. It's always good to connect with you, Linda. I hope I see you soon. Kathy? Kathy, did I lose you?
Hello, I'm here.
Linda,
are you there?
Linda, did I lose you?
Hello.
Well, for a minute. I think we were gone for a minute.
We're here, Lisa.
I was just saying, I think it's not something that we talk about often in church, but it's probably something that we really could benefit, our people could benefit from.
I think we need to talk
about
that more often, actually. I really do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of young women are just utterly confused, and they're so drawn in by what the world has to offer. I think they kind of need to have some reinforcement.
Amen.
Yeah, so
amen.
The worldliness is so, it's just so screaming in their faces everywhere they turn.
Yes.
Movies, social media, it's everywhere they turn. And so it seems like the norm. And there's a wider and wider gap between church community, and what the world has. And a lot of times in church, I've even seen where we've tried to I don't want to say we're not trying to look like the world, but we're trying to almost entice people to come to church and be part of this community. And in order to do that, we have to meet them where they're at. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. And so it's a really delicate thing because we don't want to look just like the world either at the same time.
No, we can't. We can't compromise. So,
nope.
But again, it's a delicate balance between
it
accepting them like they are when they first come to help them at least have some acceptance and then say, okay, like we say, God loves us like we are. He draws us in, but then he loves us too much to leave us that way. So.
Amen.
Good.
That's good, Linda.
Now, Linda, you shocked me, girl. I did not know you were 60 years old, girl. You look bomb.
I turned 60 in October. Look at me and my daughter were shopping the other day, and I was in the junior department with her, and I said, I'm going to buy this top. She said, yes, Mom. I know you're old when you quit when you quit going shopping.
Girl, it's not even your clothes. It's you. You look good. You look, you know, you just look good, period.
Thank you so much.
You need to give tips for that. How to look this good when you're 60.
Maybe that'll be our next segment.
I know. Well, I just think the thing of it is to, who was it? I was listening to someone, Joyce Meyer, and she said, there's so many things going on in the world. They need to sit down and talk to me. I could fix some of this stuff. And everybody laughed.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you could fix some of this stuff too, because you are crowned with the wisdom of God. And what have as believers, what we offer in beauty, what we offer and all these, we have it because we have God in us. So it's like, it's true. We need to be teaching people what we have because they don't have it, because they don't have God.
Amen. That's true.
Amen.
That's very,
Amen.
Very true. That's another
so
benefit
good.
Of being saved.
Amen. 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 You want some of this?
Spirit.
You want some
that's
of this? You're going to find
Jesus.
Jesus
got it.
Well, ladies, thank you so much. I appreciate you so much. I enjoyed myself this evening.
Yeah, I did too. This
I
was
enjoyed
really
it.
Good.
It was a good
so
girlfriend.
Let's do it again.
Okay, God
well, call me
both.
Anytime, Lisa.
Okay, you guys have a wonderful evening.
Okay.
You too.
Right,
bye-bye.
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 Love
Kathy.
You guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.